It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We are halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here. I'm Woodsy. It's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. And Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. I've gotten assurances from the Marlins manager. They're going to play very hard and do their very best to be our Marlins this week.
Sounds like that would be...
Oh, here we go. It's game day. Yes.
We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar on the crowd.
This is not AI, by the way. This is really Scott Stapp. I love the resurgence that Creed's had. I really do. Good for them, man. They like the Texas Rangers using them last year is like they're, hey, this is a funny bit. But then people are like, you know what? Creed kind of kicks ass. So we're going to start like, they're like playing huge arenas again. And, well, I mean, arenas again.
They're not clubs.
They're not selling out Wembley or anything like that. But like they're making money, making music again, which I think is really cool. So good for them.
I think it needs to be pointed out that while it sounds like a flippant remark that you've received assurances from the Marlins manager that they are going to go all out in this series, you literally just did receive the assurance from the Marlins manager that they are going to... This is a big series for them coming up, and we're counting on them.
I mean, that guy hates to lose.
I know.
He hates... So when we beat him, I didn't text him. I was not about... I waited until they beat us to text him and be like, oh, that was a crazy play, the weird home run call. He goes, oh, that was nuts. And but no, I know better. I mean, I know that, you know, things haven't gone the way he wants them to go, but that dude does not like to lose. I mean, he's a competitor. So but yeah, he's assured us that he's going to
thank him for his team rallying to beat the Mets yesterday 3-2. That's helpful as well.
Very helpful.
Only got the one in that series, but still we'll take one over zero any day of the week.
100%.
So a nice 3-2 win. And now, of course, it's they get the Arizona Diamondbacks, which is important. Padres, again, one game up in the National League wild card race on Arizona and 3.5 games up on Atlanta. Those currently your three wild card teams in the National League as we sit here with 37 games remaining for your San Diego Padres this season.
Tyler said, Woodsy likes Creed and S's on Steely Dan. Okay. Yeah, mostly because Steely Dan's terrible. That's why. Elevator music.
One of the most technically proficient bands of all time.
Agreed. Agreed. They're brilliant musicians. But whatever they create sounds like ass to me.
Come on, way better. Way better.
The world needs good elevator music. You don't want to be listening to Creed in every elevator you go up, do you?
I would not hate them. I would not hate it at all.
I mean, if I had to choose every elevator... Creed or Steely Dan?
It's Creed.
Steely Dan.
It's not even close. It's not even close.
What if you get stuck in the elevator? Didn't you just like some nice, soft Steely Dan keeping you company for an hour and 20 minutes as the engineers are trying to figure out what's wrong?
It's porno music. All day.
Fine.
Tyler says
agree to disagree.
Wrong. It's not wrong. It's my opinion. My opinion can't be wrong. I know what I like. It doesn't sound good to me. It never has. Die on the hill.
We know you have musical opinions and musical knowledge. No one's denying that you do.
It's just never, it's never resonated. He says Dirty Work is better than every Creed song. Dirty Work. Oh my God. We got to move on because I'm starting, my blood pressure's starting to rise.
Interesting story in The Athletic this morning about one Paul Skeens in the Pittsburgh Pirates. Wanted to bring that up at some point. Now seems as good a time as any to mention what is now...
Speaking of dirty work, actually, going on. What the Pirates are about to do to Paul Skeens, maybe.
Well, they may or they may not. They haven't made a decision yet, but we talked about it when we were discussing Jackson Merrill's Rookie of the Year candidacy in the last week or so. That Paul Skeens and whether or not he finishes out the season could go a long way toward determining whether Jackson wins that Rookie of the Year award.
Well, everyone's talking about it right now. I saw, who's the guy that works with Chris Rowe? Trevor Plouffe was saying the other day, like, they got to shut him down, right? They have to shut Paul Skeens down in Pittsburgh.
So they brought him up, remember, not until May 11th, which means even if he pitches the rest of the year, he doesn't qualify for a full year of service time, which, service time manipulation would theoretically on the back end give the Pittsburgh Pirates an extra valuable year of control over Paul Skeens before he can become a free agent. However, under the terms of the recent collective bargaining agreement, that goes out the window if your rookie finishes first or second in Rookie of the Year voting. No matter how little service time they got, if they win the Rookie of the Year award or even finish second in the voting, they automatically get a full year of service time.
Which is 1 year closer for Paul Skeens
to be gone
from Pittsburgh.
given Pittsburgh's track record, the Pirates are not going to be paying the big money in free agency.
Which is so unfortunate.
They want to just hold on to him as long as he's cheap
and
affordable.
Yep.
So the question now is, what's the right thing to do? Because you can make the argument that health-wise, he's already thrown 125 whatever innings. And you don't want to make a big jump up from last season when they pushed him already in the minor leagues after he was, pitched a ton at LSU. So is it the right thing to shut him down? If you do, though, will he still finish in the top two of the Rookie of the Year voting? No matter what happens. Now, it's not just Jackson Merrill, but Jackson Churio. Shota Imanaga is in the race. And if they all finish out the season and finish it strong, could Skeens fall to third or fourth in the voting and then not accumulate that year of service time?
Well, there's a really easy way for Bob Nutting to go ahead and do that, and that's to go ahead and shut him down for the season. And if they do shut him down, yeah, he could still garner some votes based on what he's done, but how many games are left? 38 games or so? And that's how many starts for Paul Skeens?
Six or seven.
6 or 7 starts. Yeah, I would say that would probably kind of quiet the whispers.
But it's really not up to the Pirates. It's up to the voters, the writers who vote for Rookie of the Year. They have all the power here. And at the end, even if the Pirates shut him down, they can say, well, I'm giving my vote or second place vote or whatever to Paul Skeens because I want him to get that service time at the very least, even if I'm throwing Jackson Merrill my vote for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
It's probably wrong that writers have that kind of power over someone's service time in Major League Baseball. But then again, it also prevents teams sometimes from manipulating that service time. And Michael says, when I say he was at 125 innings pitch, that includes what he's thrown to the minors before. He's at 98 on the big league, I believe.
Yeah.
But in the minors, those innings are innings.
Yeah, innings are innings.
Innings are innings on your arm. So it doesn't matter what level you're throwing them at. That's how many he's thrown this season.
They're really in kind of a lose-lose, aren't they? If you're the Pirates, if you shut him down because you feel like this is what's going to be prudent for him, for his arm, for his health.
You're accused of
service time manipulation, which I think there's a case for it based on who we're talking about.
But if you keep pitching him and taxing his arm, are you potentially risking injury? Is it a bad thing for his future career prospects by throwing him too much this year?
Correct. And so, I they're a little bit damned if they do, damned if they don't. But if you pitch him, and he has lost a little bit of velo, if you keep pitching him and he gets lit up, what if he gets lit up and starts sliding down the? It's kind of a lose situation for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, it's a win to have Paul Skeens on your team for the next 5-6 years. But
what's nice about the Padres in this situation is that they have an opposite incentive. Because they brought up Jackson Merrill at the beginning of the year, and he's not going anywhere, he's going to get a full year of service time,
yep,
deservedly so, at the end of the year. But if he wins Rookie of the Year, because they did that, we talked about this last week, they get a bonus first-round draft pick for Jackson Merrill winning Rookie of the Year, because they didn't try to manipulate service time. So opposite incentive. They want to see Jackson Merrill play well the rest of the season and win the Rookie of the Year. It gives them a benefit for doing the right thing, essentially, and that was bringing him up at the start of the year, what the Pirates didn't do with Paul Skeens.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, I like the idea of everyone competing and being able to stay in and play their best and may the best man win, you know, at the end of the year. But it just... it doesn't work that way. I said I wasn't going to get super upset about and get all caught up in the race. I'll tell you what, though. If the Pirates shut him down and he still wins it, I'll be pissed. That would make me very mad. And Jackson finishes out playing. How many games is he on track to play? 150? You know?
Yeah. Like,
so I think that would piss me off at the end of the day if they shut Paul Skeens down and still give him the Rookie of the Year, you know, down the road.
You know, it was, what, less than 2 weeks ago that Jackson was hitting home runs in the ninth inning, eighth inning, and everyone was going, this is incredible what he's doing. It hasn't taken long for Jackson Churio to become the flavor of the week, and he has been playing the hottest of all the Rookie of the Year candidates lately, helping the Brewers. We were just talking about how well they've played, especially over the weekend. He's been a key part of their second half surge and getting
player,
them
man.
Near the top of the National League standings. Early, Shota Imanaga was the flavor. Like, he was unbeatable.
He was literally
going to be he was going to be the undisputed Rookie of the Year back in May.
Yamamoto was supposed to be another one.
Yeah, Yamamoto to start the year.
Yep.
No chance anyone beats
then
him.
Then Imanaga.
Then Skeens. Then Merrill. Now it's Churio.
Yeah. It's a good race, man.
Yeah.
It's a good race.
It was fun on, I think it was Friday, when all three Jacksons tripled
day.
Jackson Holliday, Jackson Churio, Jackson Merrill all had the triple. All the rookies, obviously Jackson Holliday's in the American League. And I didn't realize his brother is potentially, next year, could be like a number one pick as well. Ethan Holliday is a major prospect as well.
They're all studs.
It's wild when you were just talking about like the games played. And let's say Merrill plays 150 games. Like, Paul Skeens is at 16 games that he's appeared in.
Yep.
Probably not even going to get to 20.
Probably.
Jackson Holliday has played in 27 games.
He's different league, but give me Churio.
Yeah. And then
Churio's at 2020, though, already.
Right? Let's see. That's Merrill. Jackson Churio has played. Yeah, Merrill's played in 120 games this year.
Yep. Like,
if you have a guy that finishes the season with 150 games logged in.
I mean, if he gets one more day off, which is what he's on pace for, 156 out of 162 for Jackson Merrill.
And that's, I remember at the beginning of the year.
Churio's played in 111.
Yeah. 111, okay. Yeah. I mean, they're both everyday players. So that's who it probably should come down to, is those two at the end, and whoever has the best, you know, finish is.
Which the Pirates are going. Fine by us. Skeens ends up third in the Rookie of the Year voting, because then he doesn't get
such a heavy favorite. He slides the third.
They would love it.
Just a lot of nuance.
Yeah, Michael says it doesn't make sense, you know, comparing a pitcher to everyday players. You couldn't be
That's
more
my
right.
Point.
Yeah, you could not be more right. And I think it was Don Orsillo talking about the two awards, you know, for rookie pitcher, rookie position player. No problem.
Yeah, make a new award. Breakout pitcher, whatever you want to call it.
You can put a ghost runner on second base. You can't give me an extra award? You put a pitch clock on every single thing we do? You put a clock on everything in baseball now? You have ghost runners on second? You got a three-batter minimum? You just change all these rules willy-nilly? Give me a
pitching rookie. No, I don't think that's not a Major League Baseball decision, though. That's the writers. It's their award. They can pick whatever awards they want to give out.
Add another one.
They have historically just given out one Rookie of the Year in each league, and that's how they've done it. Now, there's an argument to be made. Yeah, maybe there should be a pitcher, Rookie Pitcher of the Year, and Rookie Position Player of the Year award.
In both leagues. Who cares?
They have not done that yet.
Who cares? More awards.
A guy that starts 20 games and a guy that starts 150 games, but they are not the same.
I mean, imagine promoting more stars of your game. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
You're giving two awards away. What's wrong with that? And now you're giving, instead of two, you get four. Two here, two there. You're promoting four stars as opposed to two. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Now, do you have four players, though, who don't, you can't service time manipulate?
It makes too much sense.
Yeah. Say four players what?
Well, now do the top two pitchers and top two position players both get a full year of service time now?
Sure.
Which I'm sure the players union would love that.
Of course.
I'm not sure that the owners would love to see that.
Sucks, that's not what they agreed to, man. You know, like, that's the thing. Pay these guys. Pay these guys that are your future, your franchise. The Padres have done it, and they've done it well. And sometimes they may have started a little bit early, but I think, you know, you come to this organization and you're a promising rookie, you're either going to get traded, right, or you're not going to be manipulated, though. They will not manipulate your service time to get an extra year of control. They just won't do it.
It really has been one of the strongest attributes of A.J. Preller.
No question.
The doing the right thing when it comes to his own players.
Yep. No question.
And, you know, whatever you think of A.J. Preller, that alone
is huge.
Has earned him a ton of respect from players around the league, how he operates and does his business. He doesn't nickel and dime you. He doesn't take you to arbitration. He just pays you. He's never gone to an arbitration fight where he has to criticize one of his own players.
Doesn't do the service time manipulation.
I mean, it's good business in terms of PR and keeping your players happy. Is it financially the best business? Does it cost you some money to do all those things? Yeah, it does. And he is determined, obviously, that it's worth spending whatever that extra money is to be the club that doesn't take you to arbitration, that doesn't manipulate your service time. And that's how they do business with the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. None. I think it's great.
With that, we take a timeout. I know Adam is dying. He's waiting for the hair
roast?
Check of the boss. Coming. It's not a roast.
I thought it was going to
be a roast. It's going to be an objective evaluation of his skills as a Padres pre- and post-game show host.
Okay.
Already with the caveat, we've all praised him for stepping in a tough situation and filling in when someone needed to do the job yesterday, and he stepped up and did it. Now, how well did he do? Well, we will objectively analyze that coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I can safely say that we lost a giant in the television and broadcasting world this morning. Welcome back, Ben and Woods. Before that, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. And I was thinking this morning when I saw this news come down, that without this guy, I mean, everything you really watch or listen to, kind of influenced by Phil Donahue.
Pioneer.
Who passed away today at the age of 88. Paulie, if you would, please, for Phil Donahue.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
So if you're Woods and my age, Paulie probably doesn't remember it at all, but Phil Donahue had a immensely successful syndicated Phil Donahue television program that ran throughout the country, started in Chicago, went to New York, daytime talk show in which he would have guests on and callers calling in and confrontations between guests and audience members. And honestly, pretty much everything you watch on television, whether it's news coverage like CNN or Fox News or sports coverage, all the PTI-type shows, the arguments, the callers, the calling in, whether it's sports talk radio, which got its birth kind of based on what Phil Donahue was doing on television as well with the callers and the interviews, what he would do, Phil Donahue, like, literally, he, like, was one of the first to start all of this in what was a very popular daily television program, dealt with all kinds of different subjects, things that were a little you know, normal, tawdry news, everything. It seemed like nothing was off limits for Phil Donahue.
88 years old and was married to Marlo Thomas for 44 years. Passed away with Marlo by his side and his kids, his grandkids, and his beloved golden retriever, Charlie. 88 years old. Passed away peacefully following a long illness. Yeah, I mean, he raised us. I was a latchkey kid, you know. Phil Donahue raised me when I was a kid. Used to watch it all the time, and yeah, he did all kinds of stuff. I mean, he would talk like you said, some of the salacious stuff, but he would also talk about, you know, the war and condoms and things like that, like
cooking lessons, break dancing, man sharing, lesbian motherhood. I mean, he would tackle every subject.
He had Two Live Crew on his show. I mean, Two Live Crew played the Donahue show. So, I mean, he was a pioneer, like you said, a legend. We're not sitting here. A lot of people aren't sitting where they are without what Phil Donahue did in this business.
Didn't dye his hair, always had that very famous white hair.
Those big ass
salt
glasses.
And mostly salt, a little bit of pepper hair on top of his head, and the glasses.
Yeah,
and
big glasses.
Was a really good host.
Good dude. And the tributes pouring in, of course, it's like, hey, we all know what we saw on TV, right? What you hear from people that worked behind the scenes said, out of all the people that we worked with in that building, Phil Donahue was the only one to ever, you know, be kind to us and ask us, hey, what do you want to do? What are your hopes and dreams?
Yeah, before Jerry Springer even took it even another level, there was Phil Donahue at the very beginning. And I just thought he was worth a mention this morning.
Yeah,
passed away at the age of 88.
Shout out to his family.
All right, Padres and the Minnesota Twins starting a 3-game series tonight. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later in the program, we got a pair of tickets to give away. That'll be for tomorrow night's game, and of course, they're expecting a big crowd. Well, every night you're expecting a big crowd at Petco Park. Tomorrow is the Manny Machado collectible pin giveaway for the first 40,000 fans. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away. You can get more info at Padres.com/giveaways. Twins are a good team coming into town this week. Certainly a team with playoff aspirations in the American League. I think they're currently holding one of the wild card spots in the AL, if I'm not mistaken. They are currently second in the wild card race, but only a game ahead of the Kansas City Royals, who have that third spot. Little break between, though, the Royals and now the Red Sox, who are 3.5 games behind Kansas City for that final spot. So,
starting to shape up, man.
Yeah.
They want these two. They want these wins badly. Badly, badly.
I mean, probably the Twins and the Padres are as close as you're going to get. The Twins are 16 games above 500. The Padres are 15. Both have a plus 70 run differential for the season. I mean, these are two very evenly matched teams that will be battling at Petco Park over the next 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have some advantage in some areas, but they're a team that scares me. They play good baseball. This kid throwing tonight, Zebby Matthews. He's got nasty stuff. He was one of their top prospects. They called him up to make a start last week. Went five, struck out like six or seven. Looks really, really good. Got 80 grade stuff. So should be a fun one. Doesn't sound very fun. I don't have to hit it.
Well, Michael King's going for the Padres.
Michael King's been great.
Really good lately.
Yep.
We'll need to keep it up. I mean, you hate to put all the pressure on, like, every star. It has to be, like, close to perfect for all of these guys. You shouldn't feel that way at this point in the season. You're up in the wild card race. You're good. But it does feel like, you know, if Cease or King, if either of those guys have an off day, then all of a sudden, now you're putting yourself in jeopardy for a bad stretch. So you're asking Michael King to step up today after a lost game and a lost series. It's time for him to win today, then give the Padres two chances to win the series against the Twins on Tuesday and Wednesday. That's what you're looking for tonight.
And our boss, Adam Klug, in the chat says, yes, yes, keep talking about anything other than my pregame.
We're getting there.
Well, this was a short segment, so we're saving that one for the long segment.
Yeah, we need to go deep dive on Adam Klug's pregame show. That is coming up next. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Adam's wait is almost over. Get to his pregame show content in just a second. First, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. Floor and Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. All right. How many clips do we have, Paulie?
I just pulled two.
Just two clips. Oh, that's so easy. It's painless.
It's easy. Take it easy on him. I mean, look, I didn't even bother sifting through the post game show. He's a seasoned veteran.
Yeah, at that point.
Yeah. I wanted to hear how it first sounded, first words into the microphone, and then we might have pulled a flub or two.
Boom. All right, we will get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So one of Adam's, I think, great strengths is he knows his lane. And Adam has never really been an on-air talent. He's always been more of a behind-the-scenes mover and shaker, and he does a really great job at what he does. So how did we get to the point, first of all, where Adam Klug had to be on the air yesterday? It took a lot. Sammy, under the weather this weekend. They had already called in Chris and Braden to do it. I was asked. I had to work television yesterday, so I couldn't do it. Woodsy has repeatedly said that he will never do a pre- and post-game show. You also had Tier 1 game, so yep. You and Paulie were out yesterday.
No.
Everyone was asked, and it came down to the final choice, and that is put yourself into the game and just get it done, because someone has to host the Padres pre- and post-game show.
Player manager.
Now, we have different thoughts on it. You hate pre-game show. That you'd never want to do that.
No.
I think it's about as easy as radio gets.
Oh,
It's formatted. You know exactly what every segment is. It's plug and play.
I think post-game is even a little more difficult than pre-game. Like, I think a pre-game show for any sport, whatever flagship you're on, it's about, and I don't mean this as a slight in any way, but it's about as easy as it gets.
I'm not good at that.
It's so structured, you can't screw it up. I mean, think about who's done it in the past. Like anybody.
Yeah, but his was terrible.
Just saying, he got through it.
If you want to be, there's a difference in just doing it and being good at it.
Doing it well.
Sammy sets the bar of doing it well.
100%. And that's who Adam's going up against in his mind, right?
One of the advantages, though, is that because the segments are fairly short, you can script out a lot of it if you work in advance.
Okay, so you say that, but when Ben's out, I have these liners that I never read. I always forget to read them. I don't even know when traffic is. That's not for me. I could not do it. So I'm even reluctant to even poke fun at it because I know that I would butcher it. You guys would hear the biggest stum ass. Remember me on Color? How bad I was?
Yeah.
Your problem would be you'd be too emotional.
Yes.
It's a little bit more polished than the Ben and Woods 4-hour canvas where we can come on and be fans.
Yes.
It's a little bit...
Plays to my strengths, your weaknesses.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
So we pulled. So Adam had, what, about a two and a half minute open? And
nobody called in to talk
was
to me.
Was on the YouTube stream as well. No one did.
Does he mean us or just in general?
In general, he said actually one person did, but they dropped off before.
Ouch.
Been there before.
It's all right.
Oh, no.
All right, so let's hear what it sounded like at the start of the EcoWater SoCal pregame show.
I don't want to do this.
Yesterday at, what, 11:10 a.m., hosted by Adam Klug for the first time.
San Diego Padres baseball is coming up right here on 97.3 The Fan and the Padres Radio Network. Today, the San Diego Padres take on the Colorado Rockies in the final game of a three-game set. Our starting pitching matchup today features Padres right-hander Joe Musgrove in his second start since returning from the IL due to inflammation and triceps tendonitis, while the Rockies will counter with right-hander Bradley Blaylock, who will be making his second career start. Good morning, everyone. I'm Adam Klug with you here inside our San Diego studios, pinch hitting for Sam Levitt, who's still just a little bit under the weather. First pitch today is coming up right here at 12:10 on your home for Padres baseball, 97.3 The Fan. Coming up in the next 50 minutes, you'll hear from Padres manager Mike Schilt and Joe Musgrove, a.k.a. Big Smoke. That's his player's weekend nickname, in case you missed it. We'll begin today's EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show by setting the table. Brought to you by Fraser Farms Market. Set your table with the highest quality of natural and organic products from Fraser Farms Market, a San Diego original since 1971.
That's all it is. You're just reading liners. Right.
So, that sounds great.
He got it. He's gotten everything in that he's needed to get in so far. Got the sponsor read in, gave us the matchup. The pitcher is pretty much is getting through it. That's what I'm hearing.
No, I think he's did better than getting through it. I think that I'll give him better than getting through it. I thought he did a really good job. That's a good job.
He's definitely got some scripted notes.
Sure.
You can see that.
I can watch his eyes.
Like, following
back and forth. Does he get docked at all for that?
No.
First time.
I agree.
I mean, there's never criticism for being prepared in advance for an on-air segment.
Right.
Now, when he tried to go off script a little bit, you could start to see it maybe going off the rails a little bit, and maybe we'll get to a little bit more of that. But
the Padres are 70-54 after last night's 8-3 win over the Rockies, and they're on the verge of winning their ninth consecutive series with a W today in Colorado, which would be a franchise record. The Padres are 5-7 so far this year against the Rockies. The Friars won their 70th game in this season game number 124, whereas it took them 148 games last season. It's the fourth time in club history that they've won 70 games through 124. Today will be the Padres' 13th rubber match of the year. They've fared extremely well so far this season in these scenarios with a record of 9-3.
A lot of good emphasis.
The Friars are 20-5 since the All-Star game. The team's pitching staff leads the National League in ERA since the All-Star break at 3.12, and they lead all Major League
Baseball.
The team enters today holding the National League's top wild card spot by one game over the Diamondbacks, who have lost two in a row and are 4.5 games clear of the Mets, who are currently on the outside looking in of the wild card.
Ben looks disgusted. Is what he looks like right now. He looks disgusted.
For first place,
he's repulsed.
In the NL West. The Rockies, meanwhile, are 45-79, having lost seven of their last 10.
Yeah, just stop for a second.
That's the end. He was about to toss to one of his 14 segments that he has to do in an hour.
Please go pull his Ben's face eyes like this.
I get it. He did a great job. That's tough to do, especially the first time when you're not usually on the air. Did way better than anyone that you could have just pulled in off the street or anything like that. So it was well done. It was coming at me really fast and hard there for a while.
Whoa, just save that.
Thank you.
Just at me. Let it breathe a little bit. Woods taught me that.
Yeah, let it breathe. Don't be afraid of the uncomfortable
silence.
Don't be afraid of it.
It took me a while to get there. Mm-hmm. I totally understand. First time.
Adam says in the chat, wow, what a bar. Way better than anyone you could pull off the street.
Hey, bud, what are you up to? Nothing. Just hanging out.
You're hosting.
Come on
today.
In. Guess what? You're pre and post.
I mean, there were no shout out SDs. Shout out to my homies out there. We had none of that.
It's way better than a guy you can pull off the street. It's like meeting a girl. You're like, you're the best thing that I can find at this time of day. I don't know what to tell you. I've had 17 beers. You've had 17 beers. Let's just call it a night. Me and you, what do you say? You're the best I can get. It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
And Adam, he says, I do speak fast. Yeah, it was.
Well, when the mic goes on, trust me, your whole world speeds up. Everything speeds up. It is not an easy thing to do. I think he did a fantastic job. And he should be, from now on, he doesn't need to call and ask anybody else. He should just do it if Sammy can't make it.
Meanwhile, in the not category is Donovan Solano, who's just 2 for his last 13, although one of his hits, was a home run. That's the latest with the San Diego Padres. So let's skip that.
Oh, God. All right, there's a little bit of...
When we return from break, we'll take a look at the
outcomes laughing
scoreboard,
at
and I'll tell you why the Padres' bullpen will likely play a crucial role in today's game. It's all coming up on the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show on 97.3 The Fan.
So there was a look that he gave to his own script there as he's reading off going like...
Excuse me, was a home run.
What?
That's the latest with the San Diego Padres.
Uh-oh.
So let's...
Quizzical.
Skip that.
Let's skip that. Now I'm curious. What did it say?
It's my first time. Give me a break.
Give me a break. What did it say that he realized, I don't want to say that? Something was definitely not making sense to him that page.
He has a little bit of the same voice as Boom Goes the Dynamite guy. Just a little bit. There's a little bit of a similar sound in his voice. Passes to the man.
Steven Jackson's to David. Reggie Miller's looking good.
His eye is very
good. He shoots
familiar.
A 3.
Yeah.
And it's good.
It's good.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, And boom goes the dynamite.
Got to get it, the catchphrase in. You got to get it in there.
Matt Lawrence is the latest Cardinals tennis player to win the award. Lamar won all the singles and doubles matches last week. So far, the Cardinals have had a player honored on the weekly awards.
Mm-hmm. There's a little
better than that.
Way better than that. But there's a similar. They sound a little bit like he said. Oh, this is who I'm getting compared to.
No, favorably compared.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah.
Would you rather us unfavorably compare you to other people?
No. I was so nervous for him. I was so nervous for him yesterday. But not only did he get through it, I think he thrived.
The Associated Press of the All-American First Team in College Baseball.
Play more. I can listen to this every day.
Announced today at Utah's 7-foot sophomore, center Andrew Bogut, was the leading vote getting, receiving 60 first place votes. Bogut, who is an Australian native, received very little attention in the presentation in the preseason, but averaged 20 points and 12 rebounds a game for Utah. The four other players joining Bogut on the AP team are senior forward Wayne Summers and Kansas.
You're right.
And Hecken Warrick of Syracuse. Junior guard J.J. Redick of Duke and sophomore guard Chris Paul of Wake Forest rebounded out the list.
Rebounded out the list?
Let's check out some of the scores tonight.
He doesn't even. No commentary. As the scores just
go
flash up on the screen.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for that look into sports, Brian.
Hey, appreciate it, Brian.
Yeah, I think he says
surface rule all says. Listen, this feels mean, but I love it.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for that look into sports, Brian.
Yeah.
That guy got out of there, poured himself a glass of Jack Daniels the size of your foot.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for that pregame show, Adam.
Yeah, that's very surfer's rule. This is like that clip's like 30 years old. That guy's married with kids now.
Yeah.
Could be a grandfather.
JJ Redick was still a college star. He's now the coach of the Lakers at this point. It's been a long time since.
Keegan says, let's play the event Ben hosted at Chicano Park. I would be down for that. Did we ever get any audio of that?
No, I was fantastic, though. I promise you.
We are going to need you to start running tape. But that was great. Adam, you did a bang-up job. And again, like I said in the open, the fact that Adam's always willing to get down in here with us and do what needs to be done makes him an elite, elite boss.
Sammy sets an almost impossibly high bar. Yeah, I would not want to be compared to Sammy 100%. Hosting the pre- and the post-game shows.
He's so good. So here's the interesting thing to me. I've heard Sammy's post-game before, and especially after a loss, people are livid. No one called after they were just so sick of losing to the Rockies. They're like, I'm giving up for the day. I'll be back tomorrow. No one called.
Did they just decide, you know what, there's still a few hours left in my Sunday.
I'm going to just enjoy
myself. Let's go out and enjoy myself and not worry about another Padres Sunday loss to the Colorado Rockies.
It's funny because at first when we got the schedule out, Benny, for the new season of the Tier 1 team, we have like 9 1 o'clock games in a row. And that's usually when the Pods play. So we have the game on in the dugout. But the way that they've been playing on Sundays, I'm like, good, good. I don't want to play a baseball game and then come home and watch them lose to a team. Like, we're all watching out of the corners of our eyes and listening to what's going on. The relief pitcher from the other team yesterday was in the middle of warm-ups. He goes, what just happened? I'm like, somebody got on. We're down one. Like, it's like we're all out there. Everyone's on fire for this team. But the way they've been playing on Sundays, man, I'm like, I'd rather be playing baseball with my buddies.
Can you imagine if the Padres were asking, what's happening in the Tier 1 game right now?
Are they going to go 9-0? Oh, they're not?
They're not.
How many guys picked off? Just like us. Oh, bro, I'm about to go full Augie Garrido on these guys.
Oh, Sunday's just no fun day when we're losing every game. Our Sundays turn to blunder days. It's always just the same.
I thought Adam did a great job.
I thought he did, too.
Great job.
I texted him that in our group chat with Adam. I said, hey, great job. And he goes, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. I was not.
We all
said no.
he was passable, which is all you're looking for in that situation.
That's right. That's exactly right. Just don't screw it
Absolutely
up.
Absolutely serviceable.
Serviceable.
Getting the job done.
Yeah. No question. Yeah,
had he gone any beyond that, I truly would have been stunned. But he did what he needed to do.
Crushed it.
Got the job done.
That's my brand manager. Yep. Eb Grafax in the chat says, It's a little dramatic, but he says, or she, I've come to accept the Padres will fail in the postseason. If they cannot beat the Rockies, they can't handle postseason. Another typical year for Padres fans. Buddy, they beat the Dodgers. They've won the season series. Every team just has kind of these thorns in their side where you're like, I don't know, man. Just kind of flush it and move on. Their record against the Rockies certainly does not reflect what I've seen from the San Diego Padres this year. Fair to say?
I am so tired of people calling it a prediction when they say a team is going to fail, especially in the playoffs. Because remember, the playoffs are designed as such that 11 of the 12 teams that make the playoffs will eventually fail. Only one team doesn't fail in the playoffs.
Correct.
So making that prediction is basically...
Doesn't make you a big...
That's the easiest call anyone can make. I don't think my team is going to get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
You're probably right.
Yankees fans who are saying that, you're probably right. Phillies fans who are saying it, you're probably right.
Dodgers fans, you're definitely right.
Because almost every team in the playoffs is going to fail. That's how they are designed.
Yeah.
It's like when you start the NCAA tournament, you're one of 68 teams. I don't think my team's going all the way.
Right.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Only one of the 68 teams is going to go all the way and win it.
By definition, every team that doesn't win it all, it fails. But you telling me if this Padres team that we all were like, are they going to be over 81.5 wins this year or whatever? Like, if that team made it to the World Series and lost, you're telling me that's a failure?
No, there's levels of success and disappointment. If they go as a wild card and, you know, get bounced in two games, I'm not going to feel great about it. I'm going to be happy they made the playoffs, but I think that this team has more in them than that. If they get to the NLCS and fight hard, but, you know, lose a 7-game series to the Phillies or the Brewers or whatever, okay, that's a pretty solid season for the San Diego Padres, even if they don't raise the trophy at the end of the year.
I'll be disappointed, but just the inherent disappointment of seeing your team's season come to an end, that's what it is.
Do we all agree, though, that beyond all really reasonable hope that we had when we gathered in spring training in February to see this team for the first time with a new manager, no center fielder, question marks all over the place in the pitching rotation, that the fact that we're sitting here on August 19th, and they can legitimately win the World Series.
Yeah, dude.
Pretty good stuff, right? All right, we'll come back. We get the Rindle Report and more. Final hour of Ben and Woods ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.